What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now, to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. Is this blessing then only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? For we say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it counted to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was not after, but before he was circumcised. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith, while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose was to make him the father of all who believe without being circumcised, so that righteousness would be counted to them as well, and to make him the father of the circumcised, who are not merely circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring, that he would be heir of the world, did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made you a father, the father of many nations. In the presence of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations. As he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words "it was counted to him" were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification.
Thanks so much, Phil, and welcome. May I add my welcome to Phil's? It's lovely to see you all. My name is Brian, if we haven't met before, and I am on staff here at St. Botolph's. So, for those who were here last week, We learned from the Hosea chapter 13 that about the rescue that we all need. What we need to be rescued from is our idolatry, our pride, and the death that follows. And the New Testament tells us that Jesus is the one who can bring us this rescue. He is able to save us from sin and death. And the Apostle Paul teaches us that the way to be included in Jesus' rescue is simply to trust in him. We cannot in any way contribute to our salvation. It is through faith alone in Jesus that we can be rescued from sin and death. But this actually goes against all human religions. They teach that it is by our works that we are saved. For example, it is through long periods of fasting that God is pleased with us. How can we be sure that faith alone is legitimate? And that's our question for today, and you can see it on our handouts. How can we be sure that faith alone is legitimate? And I think this is something that Christians find difficult as well. I was chatting to a Christian friend recently, and he finds trusting alone in Jesus a real struggle. A small voice keeps telling him that God will only be pleased with him if he gets everything right, if he reads his Bible and prays and goes to church and fights sin and shares the gospel, then only will God be pleased with him. And so we need to play our part in order to be right with God. The Apostle Paul faced similar objections, and that is why he wrote Romans chapter 4. He wrote it to defend this teaching against the Jewish establishment. These guys have completely misunderstood the Old Testament. Their religion was based on good works and not on faith alone. They trusted in their own laws to get right with God. And so, of course, they would have rejected Paul's teaching of salvation by faith alone. This would have been outrageous to them. And in fact, they argued that the patriarch, Abraham, was saved by works and not by faith. We see this in our chapter today. This was what they were claiming. And who was Abraham? Abraham was the first and the most respected ancestor of the Jews. And so if Abraham was saved by works, then surely everyone following him was also saved by works. In light of these claims, how could the Roman church be sure that faith alone really was legitimate? Let's have a look at what Paul says. Our first heading, faith alone is consistent. Let me read verses 1 to 5 again. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. What is Paul's point in these verses? His point is that faith alone is consistent. All the way back, right at the start of the Old Testament, Abraham, the Jews' first ancestor, was saved by faith and not by works. You can read the story in Genesis chapter 15. Abraham believed God, and he was made right with him There and then, it was instant. God declared Abraham to be righteous because of his faith, because he trusted in God's promise. It had nothing to do with his good works. Verse 4 tells us that salvation was not something that he earned after many years of hard work. No, instead, as verse 5 says, salvation was given to Abraham because he simply believed in God as the one who saves sinners. It says, and to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. So Paul is really clear, isn't he, that works did not contribute in any way to Abraham's righteousness, to his salvation. Instead, it was his faith alone that caused his salvation. It was faith alone that made Abraham right with God. But that's not it. Paul brings in another witness, King David, another Old Testament VIP who was around about 1,000 years after Abraham. And what does King David believe? King David believes that we are saved by faith alone as well. So this is consistent with Abraham. So he writes in Psalm 32, this is quoted in verse 6 of Romans 4, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. And if we read the whole Psalm, Psalm 32, we learn that God forgives the sins of those who say sorry to him. He doesn't forgive them because of their good works. He forgives them because they come to him and they ask for his forgiveness. It's as simple as that. That's exactly what happened to King David himself. As many of us will know, King David sinned by committing adultery with Bathsheba. But when he confessed his sins to God, what did God do? God forgave him. To give us an illustration, how can we be sure that COVID vaccines work? Well, one important way is through the clinical trials that take place. Because we know that the vaccine has worked on many other people, first, we can have confidence that it will also work for us. And the same is true of faith alone. It is consistent. God's people have always been saved by faith alone. They have never been saved by works throughout the entire history of the Bible. It is not that Abraham and David were saved by works, and then Paul comes along and says that we are now saved by faith. No, faith alone is not an innovation that Paul came up with. Faith alone is consistent throughout the whole Bible. Abraham trusted in God, and God saved him. He made him righteous. David sinned, and he said sorry to God, and God forgave him. And so both Abraham and David were saved by faith, not works. And that gives us confidence that faith alone is legitimate. If we believe in God's promise of salvation through Jesus Christ, then we too can be made right with God. If we say sorry to God for our sins against him, God will surely forgive us. That is liberating, isn't it? So we've seen that faith alone is consistent. Now Paul goes on to say that faith alone is inclusive. That's our second point. Faith alone is inclusive. Verses 9 to 12. Let me read these verses for us again. Is this blessing then only for the circumcised? That's referring to the Jews. Or also for the uncircumcised? That's referring to everyone else. We say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it counted to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was not after, but before he was circumcised. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose was to make him the father of all who believe without being circumcised, so that righteousness would be counted to them as well, and to make him the father of the circumcised, who are not merely circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. What is Paul's point? Paul's point is that faith alone is inclusive. It means that both Jews and Gentiles can be saved. Paul brings in Abraham as his witness again. Abraham was saved by faith before or after he was circumcised? He was saved before he was circumcised. Verse 10, it was not after, but before. Circumcision was just an outward sign to confirm the inward reality. The reality was that Abraham was already saved. He was already righteous. Verse 11, he received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So circumcision is like the certificate that you get after passing an exam. You have already passed it, but the certificate confirms that. Or like a vaccine certificate. You've had the vaccine, and then the certificate shows that you've had it. It's been done. Paul goes on to explain in verse 11 that why Abraham was saved before he was circumcised. The purpose was to make him the father of all who believe without being circumcised, so that righteousness would be counted to them as well, and to make him the father of the circumcised, who are not merely circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. So in other words, God's purpose was to make Abraham a forerunner, the first of many others. Abraham was saved by faith alone, and everyone after him could therefore be saved in the same way. Everyone who trusts in God's promise of salvation can now be made right with him, just as Abraham was. And not only is this true for Abraham's physical descendants, the Jews, but this is true for non-Jews, for Gentiles as well, for everyone else. We too, if we're not Jewish, we too can now be saved by faith alone. Even though we are not circumcised, we can also be saved if we trust in God's promise of salvation through Jesus Christ. The COVID vaccine can be administered to everyone, young and old, rich and poor, black and white, male and female. As long as we get the jab, we can benefit from its protection. The same is even more true of faith alone. It guarantees protection of all who have it. All of us here, whether we are Jews or Gentiles, can be saved if we trust in Jesus. Whatever our ethnic background, wherever we come from, we can follow in Abraham's footsteps. We can become his sons and daughters if we share his faith. We don't need circumcision or any other outward sign like baptism to make us right with God. The only thing that matters is faith. Okay, so we've now seen that faith is consistent, faith alone is inclusive, and our third point is that faith alone is effective. Let me read verses 13 to 16. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So Paul now focuses on God's promise to Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. How could someone become Abraham's son and heir? Was it through keeping the law, or was it through trusting in the promise? Well, Paul is pretty clear, isn't he? It is through faith and not through works. If it is through works, then faith is useless. It cannot save. But the opposite is true. Faith is effective. It is powerful. It does indeed save. In fact, it produces sonship. It is the way through which Jews and Gentiles can inherit God's promise to Abraham. Paul carries on in verse 17. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope he believed against hope, that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words it was counted to him were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Paul's point here is that faith is powerful. It gives life to the dead. Abraham was around 100 years old when God promised to make him the father of many nations. That would start by the birth of a son. But the problem was his wife Sarah had been barren for many decades. So it seemed humanly impossible for Abraham and Sarah to have any children. And yet, Abraham did not doubt God's promise. Instead, he grew strong in his faith. He was fully convinced in his mind that God was able to give life to the dead, to call into existence the things that do not exist. And so what happened? Abraham's faith was counted to him as righteousness. Because he believed in God's promise, God fulfilled his promise. In other words, God gave Abraham a son and an heir, Isaac. And so what this shows us is that faith alone really is effective. It really works. It is the way that God fulfills his promises. It is how God fulfilled his promise to Abraham. And the amazing thing is that faith alone is effective for us as well. Just as God fulfilled his promise to Abraham through faith, God will do the same to us through faith alone. Verse 24 says this, we too can become a son of Abraham if we believe in the same God who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord. We too will inherit the world if we trust that Jesus was delivered up for our sins, i.e. he died on the cross for our sins, and was raised for our justification, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. Imagine if the COVID vaccine was so effective that it could bring dead people back to life. I know it's not possible, but just imagine that it was able to do that. And this was proven in the clinical trial. A dead person received the vaccine and came back to life. Well, that would bring hope to us, wouldn't it? Hope of resurrection life. Well, Abraham's example makes the same point. It shows us that faith alone really is effective. It is powerful. It shows us that God really can give life to the dead. He is able to call into existence the things that do not exist. He can work miracles. He can give life to the dead. And this very same God can give life to us, spiritually dead people. He can make us into sons and heirs of Abraham through faith alone. This is impossible by our own efforts, but it is possible because God is the one who does it. God is able to give us spiritual life, to make us into the sons and heirs of Abraham. So in conclusion, how do we know that faith alone is legitimate? Abraham's example shows us that faith alone is consistent throughout the whole Bible. It is inclusive. It includes both Jews and Gentiles. And it is effective. It is able to bring dead people to life because God is the one who does this. And so we can be certain, if we are Christians, that our simple trust in the gospel has indeed made us right with God. Our faith means that we are now righteous. We are saved. God has used our faith to bring us from death to life and has turned us into sons and heirs of Abraham. And our faith guarantees that one day we will inherit the world just as God had promised Abraham. And so when we look at the religions of the world that teach us that it is by our works that we are justified, well, we can say that they are wrong because it is faith alone that saves. It is faith alone that makes us right with God. Praise God.